This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
How about we start with a word of prayer? Holy Father, thank you that you have drawn close to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've sent your Spirit that we might know you and that we might know ourselves properly. Father, please today teach us. Teach us by your word and Spirit that we might be inspired to persevere in Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. I want to speak with you today about remaining in Christ. Abiding in or with Christ. Or as our passage says, continuing in Christ. It's got to be said, I wonder if you, as you listen to you thought this. 1 John chapter 2 and 3, it's a strange passage, isn't it? It's a strange passage there in chapter 2. You've got, it speaks of the Antichrist, not just one Antichrist, but many Antichrists. It speaks of anointing. It even questions my role as a teacher. Did you see that in verse 27? You do not need anyone to teach you. Reading that, I wonder if I've preached well by making my role redundant by the end of the sermon. I don't know. But there's a whole lot there. But this passage is summarized for us in verse 28. Have a look with me. 1 John 2, verse 28. It'd be great if you could have that open in front of you, because there's lots going on in this passage. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 says this: "And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming." Key idea there? Continue in him. I don't know about you, but the word continue doesn't really do it for me. You know, continue as a word is just so mechanical. Whereas the call to continue here is jam-packed with emotion. It's a bit more like we might say, hold the line. It's that kind of thing, to draw a rugby analogy, not to let the opposing team cross your defensive line, to hold the line. Or I walked through this trade union picket line at one point, and they were holding the line in terms of no one will pass. It's that kind of idea of continue there. Continue in Christ. Don't let anything come between you and him. That's the idea of continuing, remaining, abiding here. So why? Why continue in him or abide him? Why is that such a big thing? Well, the key moment here in verse 28 is the key moment that your life is heading towards. It's bigger than marriage, it's bigger than first child, it's bigger than first grief, it's bigger than public honour and recognition. There is no moment in your life that will be bigger than this one. Verse 28, you see it there? Continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. For you, meeting Jesus will be the beginning of eternity, one way or the other. If you've continued in him, you have every reason to be confident and unashamed. But if you have not continued in him, you have no reason for confidence and every reason for shame. That's quite a situation. So friends, continue in Christ. It is that important. And in this passage, it is urgent. It is urgent because there's a significant threat to your continuing in Christ. The threat in this passage comes from the time that we live in. You know, we often talk about here at church that we live in the last days. That kind of means that since Christ's death and resurrection, that is one point, and the end point of our age is when Christ returns. That is the other point. It's a bit like in World War II, D-Day and VE Day. So D-Day was when the Allies invaded continental Europe, and anyone who knew the situation knew that they really had the strength to win. On that day, they won D-Day. Though victory was not declared until VE Day, when the Allies got to Berlin. It's a bit like that with Jesus. So on the cross, at his resurrection, He defeated his enemy. That's done. Victory over. But VE Day is still coming when the king returns and the whole world, the whole globe, recognizes Christ as the king of the universe. That has not yet come. So we're in that period, the last days. And that is when the threat comes to you and to me. The threat of not continuing in him. You see it there in verse 18. You see the threat very clearly. Dear children, this is the last hour. So not just the last days, this is the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. So that is the threat in the last days. The threat has a name here. It could not be more appropriate. What is the threat to you continuing in Christ? The Antichrist. So who is the Antichrist? Well, the Antichrist conjures up images of horns coming out of heads and visions from Revelation. I don't know if you've watched horror movies about Antichrist and that sort of thing. It's really quite shocking. But the reality here is an Antichrist is more normal. Antichrist is actually more shocking too. Let me tell you, have a look at verse 19. It's more normal. The Antichrist is more normal. They went out from us. They did not really belong to us. For if they belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. The New Living Translation here says they left our churches. That's the kind of idea here. I say the Antichrist is more normal because it's not like the individual you see in 2 Thessalonians, the man of lawlessness. No, no, no. This is many individuals, and they're normal in that they are sitting in the same pews as the original readers of this letter. They sang the same songs as the original readers. They shared communion, I presume, with the original readers of this letter. They're normal. But way more shocking in that who better to lead you astray than people who you know and you trust. Someone you've shared communion with. Now, I reckon if there was a guy walking down Parramatta Mall, right, that he had a horn coming out of his head and handing out pamphlets, I reckon you just think, oh yeah, that's just a Western Sydney Wanderers supporter, right? You think nothing of it. And I don't reckon you'd be taken in by them. If they were handing out pamphlets with an alternative way to know Jesus, oh, I reckon you'd either not take the pamphlet or take it and throw it away. That's not a threat. But the person that's been sitting on the same pew row with you only 12 months ago, start talking with you about this different Jesus they've met. Now you're talking persuasive. So the Antichrist is more normal, but they are more shocking. So what are the sort of things they're saying? Verse 22 tells you that. Verse 22, 1 John 2, verse 22. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. Antichrists aren't marked out so much by what they believe as what they deny. They deny that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed King, born to live and to die and to be raised for our salvation. You see also what they deny in chapter 4, if you flip over to chapter 4, verse 2. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God, 4 verse 2. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and even now is already in the world. So what did the Antichrist say? Well, they deny that Jesus was the Christ, the King, the Anointed One. They deny that when Jesus came, he was fully human. And you might think, well, you know, I say the creeds. I know about Jesus. They're not going to fool me. I'm not going to fall for that. Well, friends, we live in a time where the common belief is something like this. It doesn't really matter what you believe so long as you believe it sincerely. And that kind of thinking just creeps into our church very slowly, and it's very, very, very seamlessly. It doesn't matter what you believe it, you just so long as you believe it sincerely. So much so that when someone leaves the church, they come through a different view of Christ, having a different view of Christ, then they invite you. The minute they open their mouths about this different view of Jesus, no matter how sincerely they believe it, they are a liar and they are an antichrist. That makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable saying that. Would you feel uncomfortable saying that? See, I think we suffer a little bit from our culture of politeness at this point, where we won't call a spade a spade. Let me give you an example. Just say someone leaves this church to go and join Jehovah's Witnesses who don't believe that Jesus is God. I'm not aware of this happening, but just say it did. And they start by inviting you to join them at church. What are they guilty of? Well, they haven't robbed anyone. They're not thieves. They're not drug dealers. They're not murderers. It is far worse. Because as they invite you to join them, they're attempting to stop you from continuing in Jesus. And if you stop continuing in Jesus, when you stand before Jesus, you will stand before him with no confidence and full of shame. It is that frightening. They're attempting, by inviting you to a different view of Jesus, they're inviting you to ruin your eternal security in Jesus. If they convince you of a different view of Jesus, one that is not a biblical view of Jesus, they are thieves that have pulled off a heist of eternal proportions. That is the threat, friends. That is the threat that is in 1 John 2. So let me just say, friends, continue in Jesus. Take care what you believe about Jesus. Take care what other people believe about Jesus. To be led astray means to no longer be continuing in Christ. And when you stand before him, you will have no confidence, but just a lot of shame. That is the threat. So that's the point. That's the first point there. That's the threat. In the last days, being led astray by normal but shocking antichrists, that is the opposite to continuing in Jesus. That's the threat. It's one thing to say, oh, don't be led astray. It's quite another to say, well, how? How do I protect myself against getting led astray? Like, you tell me not to, but how? Let me tell you, that's the second thing I want to do. How do you continue in Christ so that you can stand before Jesus with full confidence and no shame? The answer is this: continue in his word and through his spirit. I say these as separate things, but they're very similar. They're very closely connected, his word and his spirit. For continuing in his word, have a look at verse 24. Verse 24, you see it there? See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Father and in the Son and in the Father. There's a good reason the apostle started this letter the way that he did. You remember how he started the letter? 1 John chapter 1 verse 2, the life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. If you know Jesus, you know the Father. The reverse is also true. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know the Father. And you know Jesus by reading his word, reading about him, reading what he says. It's really as simple as that. That's why at St. John's we have a St. John's reading plan. It's why we have growth groups where we get together and read the Bible together. It's that important that we protect each other from being led astray as we spend time in the word together. It's really that simple. But it's not just reading the word. See also that it's continuing in his spirit. Verse 27, as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Comes back to this continuing language. It's the same word in the original, remaining, continuing. It's the same idea. So we continue by having his Spirit dwell in us. It's a really important thing to notice here about continuing in Christ. It does call us to continue in Christ, the word. But you'll notice that God isn't absent here. You'll notice that God has given us his word to continue in him. You'll notice that he's giving you his Spirit to continue in you. So as you are continuing in God, he is continuing in you. And that is why you have a capacity to be teacherless. As it says there in verse 27, and you do not need anyone to teach you. See, you have the word and the Spirit. You are in the best seat in the house for working out what God is doing through Jesus Christ. We all have, with the word and the Spirit. You are a kingdom of priests. Now, I suspect the apostle probably wouldn't have written this letter if he didn't believe that teaching had any place in the life of the church. Of course, he believed in the place of teaching in the life of the church. But I just want you to know that you, with the word and the Spirit, must measure what the teacher says against that word. See the emphasis on all of you there in verse 20? 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Not only those who went to more college, not only those who lead a Bible study. When you don't test the words of those who teach you, when you don't test the words of those who you are listening to, it means you are putting yourself in the hands of those who could lead you astray. Being led astray means that you are not continuing in Christ, which means when you meet him, you will not be full of confidence. You'll be full of shame. That's the threat. You remember where we started, 1 John 2:28. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. So as you reflect on that call to hold the line, that call to abide in him, it's really important to remember that as you are abiding in him, he is abiding in you. As you are continuing in him, he is continuing in you. As you are doing the hard work of continuing, he is doing the hard work of remaining in you. So that's the second point there. Continue in him as he continues in you through his word and Spirit. Friends, let me try and wrap this up. Let me try and conclude. We live in the time of the last days. If you like, we live between D-Day, where Jesus won his battle over the enemies. We live between that time and VE Day, when Jesus will return and when he will globally be announced as the King of the universe. We live in the time of the last days. And what will happen to us in that time? The threat is that we will stop continuing in Jesus. And the threat will come in the form of antichrists, who are normal but shocking. The threat that when we stand before Jesus, if we've been led astray, we will not be confident. We will be ashamed. That is the threat. How do you avoid that? How do you counter that threat? Well, by staying close to his word and his Spirit, by carefully weighing anyone that you're listening to about Jesus against the word, you recognize as you are continuing in him that he is continuing in you. As you're drawing close to him, he is drawing you close as you draw close to him, he is drawing you close to himself. He's loving you and sustaining and protecting you by his word and by his Spirit. Abide in him as he abides in you. Let me pray. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. Father in heaven, thank you that you draw near to us in this age through your word and by your Spirit. Thank you that though there are some who want to stop us from continuing you, you are at work in us. Please, Father, we need your help. Help us to be disciplined at drawing close to you, reading your word, not grieving your spirit. Father, protect us from cultural politeness. Protect us from being pushovers when it comes to what we believe about your Son. Thank you that he is the Christ. Thank you that he came fully human. And thank you that you raised him from the dead. Father, please help us to trust him, trust in him, so that when we come before him on that day, we will be confident and unashamed. We pray in his name. Amen.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.